And now, Don Blackwell.
If you have a Bible, I invite you to take it and open with me today to Luke chapter 15. We're going to read the first two verses. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then all of the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" I want you to notice that in these two verses, we have two classes of people. We have the sinners and we have the self-righteous. All of these people are Jews. Now, the sinners have gathered around Jesus because they wanted to hear the message. The other class of people, the self-righteous, felt that they had no need for the message. In fact, they began to criticize Jesus. They said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." How pathetic is their attitude? This man claims to be a teacher? Well, as a result of this criticism, Jesus spoke three parables to the people. The first is what we call the parable of the lost sheep. In that parable, Jesus pointed to the value of one lost sheep and how that the loving shepherd would leave his 99 other sheep to find the one that was lost, and how that when he found it, he would greatly rejoice. He concluded the parable by saying, "Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Then Jesus spoke a second parable that we call the parable of the lost coin. In that parable, Jesus pointed to the value of one lost coin and how the woman that lost it would diligently search for it and would call her neighbors to help her, and how that when she finally did find it, she would rejoice. And he concluded that parable by saying, "Likewise, there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Why did Jesus tell these parables? He was showing the scribes and the Pharisees, these self-righteous Jews, the value of lost individuals. He was trying to show them how important these publicans and sinners were to him, and to explain why he was receiving sinners. Well, then Christ tells one more parable, the parable of the lost son. We commonly call it the prodigal son. It's sometimes called the parable of the wasteful son because that's what the word prodigal means. This is the parable that we want to study together today. I invite you to look with me at Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. This verse introduces to us the characters in this parable. In this parable, we read about a father and two sons. The father here represents God, and the two sons represent the children of God. The younger son, the prodigal son, is representative of a child of God who has wandered away from his father. In the immediate setting, he would represent the publicans and the sinners. But in a broader sense, he would represent any child of God who has wandered away from his father. If you're tuned into the program today and you are an unfaithful Christian, if you have openly rebelled against and left from faithful service to the Lord, then this boy represents you. There are several points that we want to notice in this lesson, and we'll be continuing this lesson in next week's broadcast. We want to notice the request of the son, the realization of the son, the resolve of the son, the return of the son, and finally, the reception of the son. Let's begin with point number one, the request of the son. This comes from Luke chapter 15 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." According to the Jewish law of inheritance, the older son would receive two portions, and that meant that the younger son's portion would amount to one-third of the inheritance. Now, the younger son decided that he wanted his inheritance now. We learn from the next verse the reason why he wanted it now. He was going to take his money, and he was going to leave. Listen to verse 13. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions, with prodigal living or wasteful living. Now, I want you to notice where the text says he went. It says that he went to a far away country. We're not told which one, and it doesn't matter. But he went far, far away from home. He went far away from his father, and no doubt from all of the restraints of his father. And I want you to look what he did when he got there. He wasted his substance with riotous living. The inheritance that his father gave him, he blew it. The King James says, on riotous living. The New King James says, he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. In other words, he wasted his money. Whatever he took a notion to do, he did it. He was really living the good life, living it up. His older brother later accuses him of wasting his money on harlots in verse 30. That might be true, we don't know. But what we do know is that when he got away from his father, he became a very different person, apparently. You know, this reminds me of what some young men and some young women have done when they get away from their parents for the first time. Some have joined the military and move away from home, and they go crazy. They go to places that they never would have gone when they were home. They behave themselves in a very wild manner. Sometimes this same thing happens in a college situation. Young people will graduate from high school and they'll go off to college, and they're living in a different city from their friends and their family, and they begin to behave themselves in a very ungodly way. You know, this illustration of the prodigal son is such a very good one. It is a very simple and a very straightforward illustration, but it depicts so very well the child of God who has gone astray. Just think about this young man at home. He's at home and he hears about all the pleasures that are out there, and they seem so enticing to him. And he probably thinks, what could it hurt anyway, right? And so he goes for it. But he learns the cold, hard truth about sin, and that is that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. Listen to verse 14 of our text, Luke chapter 15. Verse 14 says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Friends, the pleasures of sin are but for a season, and then you are in for a spiritual famine. Verse 14 says, and he began to be in want. This man was left with nothing because sin had robbed him. Now listen to verse 15 to hear the condition that he had found himself in. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now consider this. He's joined himself to a citizen of this faraway country. One commentator said that this means that he forced himself on this citizen, and he was sent to feed the swine. Can you picture this in your mind? This son of a wealthy man, a once wealthy man himself, having servants to bring food to his table, is now carrying a bucket in the heat of the sun. I can picture him out walking through the mud, and the swine going wild as he begins to dump the slop for them to eat. But you see, it gets even worse than that. Because you see, this young man is a Jew, and the swines were unclean animals to the Jew. So this was not only unpleasant and hard work, it was humiliating, degrading work for any Jewish boy. I can just picture this young man, frustrated, filthy, humiliated, sitting there by the swine. And then listen to verse 16. The Bible says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This man had reached an absolute low for a Jewish boy. It was bad enough to be feeding the swine, but now he wanted their food. You know, I think we have a very good picture here of the despicable condition that sin will leave a man in: hungry, destitute, fatherless, and lost. And I think it's particularly interesting that the text says, and no one gave him anything. Do you wonder where his friends are now? No doubt when he came into this far country and he had money and resources and was living the big life, that he had friends and people who were spending time with him and probably women flocking around him, but now his money is gone and his so-called friends, they're gone also. Friends, sin is so very deceiving. Satan is a deceiver. And he paints a picture in our minds of sin and what it will be like in the grandest light. And we, in our imaginations, think that it's going to be something that is so pleasant and something that is desirable. But the prodigal son learned that it wasn't that way at all. You know, some things never change. We still live in a world like that today. Satan the deceiver is still at work on the minds of men today. Many people today think that a life living for themselves, a life living for money, a life living for the pleasures of this world is the best one to live. But that's because Satan the deceiver is still alive and well and active.